Welcome back to Chloe with Love and Relationships. My specialty is dating and relationships, but as a lot of you guys know, the tools that I teach are based on principles of truth. So they really do radiate to other areas of life. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Wundt Institute. I have been doing this work for a little over a decade now, and I'm also over, well, I'm almost 22. No, I am 22 years married now. So I had my anniversary on Monday. So everything I'm teaching you guys, I have also done myself. I use the tools that I've created. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which was created by my mentor, Pat Allen, and I use tools of transactional analysis, which was created by Eric Byrne. I've also written four books on this subject, and they're all available on Amazon. If you want the book with all the basics in it, that's the first one, How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It. And I already put my collateral into the group chat. So if you guys are interested, you can check that stuff out. I usually put original content up on Instagram and TikTok every day and YouTube. And this recording will be available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. So what I'm going to do is give you guys a brief introduction about the principles upon which this work is based. Now, this is very established scientific and psychological work and scholarship. The thing that's unique about the work I teach is the tools to execute on that scholarship, because we can have all the theory we want, but if we don't know how to apply it, it really isn't useful. One of the things that I used to be very frustrated from when I went to traditional emotive therapy was that we talked a lot about feelings, and I got my thoughts and my feelings mirrored back to me and reflected, and that's a good experience. That's a positive experience. But for the most part, my life didn't change. And so after a certain amount of time, it just seemed like an exercise in futility. My life was changed by this work about 12 years ago. And then before I started it, I had seen an incredible change in a neighbor. And she had really turned her life around from being just a broke single mother, always struggling, to marrying the man of her dreams, getting an amazing career going. Really, everything started falling into place for her. When I saw that, I wanted to try what it was that she was doing. She started a group with Dr. Pat, not wholly unlike this group here tonight, except it was in person and it wasn't free. And that's how I started learning about this work. Some of it really went over my head in the beginning, but I stuck with it because I had seen an incredible result. And through repetition, I got a feel for it, and then I became good at it and began training with Dr. Pat. So that's my background. I'm going to talk about the principles this work is based on. That's only going to take about 10 to 15 minutes. Then I want to devote the rest of the time to your questions. And as I said, dating and relationships is my specialty, but I also help people with family situations, with work situations, with communication problems, because this work really does apply throughout all areas of life. The principles of this work are based on the duality that we find here on Earth. Feminine and masculine, or you can call it yin and yang, is one such duality. And if you want to learn more about yin and yang, there's a great book by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee called The Yin Yang of Life. But when we look at relationships, we look at the most successful relationships, and those are the ones that are balanced between yin and yang, or feminine and masculine energy. There's a lot of confusion about what feminine and masculine is, so I'm going to give a brief definition. All of us are both. All of us have a right brain that is more feminine, that is the center of feelings. This is passive, patient, vulnerable. This is receiving energy, the energy of magic, of sensuality, of creativity, of sexuality. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then all of us have a left brain, and most of us are on our left brain at work because this is the world of ideas, competitive, conquering, controlling, giving, taking care of, nurturing. These are all masculine attributes. Singularity of thought is very yang or masculine. And most of us live in our left brain at work, but also at play because we live in such a masculinized world. And so a lot of the work that I do is helping women understand what feminine energy is and learn to inhabit it more so that they can have more balance in their lives, especially overachieving women who do very well in the yang world, often at the expense of their own yin energy and their own authentic balance. As I said, all of us are both. This is a balance between yin and yang energy within ourselves. This balance may change over the course of time because as we get older, we have hormonal drop-offs that change our energy, men becoming more feminine over the age of 45 or 50, women becoming more masculine at that same time due to the hormonal changes of menopause and andropause. Okay, so one of the things that often can throw us out of balance is childhood trauma, whether it is with the small T or a big T. And when we have problems in relationships, it usually stems from some kind of childhood trauma. These issues tend to show up in our most intimate relationships. So if you have a pattern that doesn't serve you, or you seem to keep picking the same man or woman or partner over and over again, you're in the right place. These patterns are very, very compelling to us because we adopt them during our formative years, the year ages of 0 to 12. And because we develop these patterns at such a young age, they become ingrained in us in a way that later habits don't have the opportunity to become. And when we have trauma, what we find is that we have to adapt, and often at the risk of our own authenticity, we have to attach to the people who own the refrigerator, who are taking care of us when we're children, because human children don't survive well on their own, right? Now, as a result of that, we form scripts. And these scripts are coping strategies that we think are based on existential truths, but are actually just strategies of the moment. And we run into trouble when we bring these scripts into our adult relationships. And that's when we can self-sabotage what we want and prevent ourselves from living the lives we deserve. Simply because we're unconscious of the patterns from childhood that we're repeating. This is called the repetition compulsion. It was noticed by Freud, by Jung. There's a great book about it called For Your Own Good by the psychologist Alice Miller, who was a protege of Freud. But the repetition compulsion basically states that we're doomed to repeat that which we don't understand. And so, as long as you don't As you're unaware of these patterns, they will keep going. And if you can never express it, if you never gain awareness, ultimately these negative patterns will express themselves in the body as disease. So it's extremely helpful to do your personal and psychological work. Okay. There's a great book on that too by Gabor Mate called When the Body Says No. So if you want to look more into that. And a lot of these books are listed in the back of my, in the bibliography of my first book, How to Live. And I think there's some resources also on my website. You can get to almost anything through my website. I also teach this work a few times a year. I'll probably try to squeeze in one more module one class before the end of the year. So if you want to sign up for that, that's the link of module packages. But again, you can get that on my website, chloesconsciousnesstraining.squarespace.com. Okay, now I'm going to open it up to your questions. This is my favorite part. And again, you can really ask me anything. You can ask me about something I've already said. I also love to hear your updates. We learn a lot in this group from each other. I've been doing this group for over 2 years here on Meetup. So if you haven't been, welcome. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
How are you? How can I help you?
Good, good. Yeah, I thought of a way to ask the question I had a couple weeks ago, in a way that doesn't reveal anything about the people involved.
Oh, good. Okay. Shoot.
Yeah, so I have a general guideline in my relationships in general, but my friendships, especially where we all know each other, that we don't talk about people behind their back or, talk about them. And I'm not like
Right.
super strict, but I'm like, that's just a kind of a guide I have. And if you have a
Nice.
problem with someone, to go directly to that person. So I don't know if everyone shares that or if you share that value, but someone probably does here.
No, I think that's good. I think it's important not to engage in crosstalk, where there's too many people weighing in on situations that don't concern them directly.
Yeah, so my question, and this is going to be kind of vague, but is there any scenario where you feel like, just let me give a couple little guides about, like someone does feel like they occasionally need to confide with someone about something they're having trouble with
Right.
another person, that type of thing. Or, I mean, there could be a whole range of from, very benign to something more severe, like, is there a scenario that you could imagine where it would be appropriate? Is it ever appropriate? Like,
Think so. It's never one size fits all.
wait, what'd you say, you do or
It's,
don't?
I do think so. I don't think it's ever one size fits all. Every time you lay a rule down, there's someone to tell you an exception. So, I think what's important is to understand the motivation. And if the motivation is, I need help with this, or I'm feeling bad about this, can you give me some advice? Or I just need to unburden myself. Can you, be an ear to listen? I think that's okay. I think problems occur when people use that information to manipulate others, so I think if both people are well intended, then it can be okay, and it can be comforting because sometimes you do need to talk to somebody else about a third party's actions. Sometimes you do need, obviously I'm here for that reason. But it's also nice to talk to somebody who knows the third party, right? Because they'll have like a unique insight. It really comes down to what the motivation is of the people involved. And, if they're using the tools of conscious communication, are you bullying? Are you seducing with guilt? If you're not doing either of those things, then I think it's okay to do it. Does that clarify it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to tell me something more specific or?
I'm trying to think of how to do that without, it's just in doing that, the third party who's not there, something might get revealed about them that one of the parties doesn't know, right? They're getting told. And they aren't there to give their side of the story, you know? And you know, even though people may be well-intentioned, it feels a little awkward for me that the other party who's not there can't defend themselves.
Well, is the person trying to get you to take an action, or are they simply unburdening themselves on you?
Both.
Well, you're a feminine creature. If you don't feel comfortable, say you don't feel comfortable.
That's what I've done, but yeah, I can't really say more, but
Does
I'm
the
not really.
person not stop once you say you feel uncomfortable?
Mostly, yeah, but yeah, again, I can't really say more.
Well, if you don't feel comfortable, I think, you can say, I don't feel comfortable, and then, politely bow out of the conversation. Say, I don't have anything to add, or I don't, ultimately, you're not a professional. You're not trained. You can say, you can refer them to me if they have a conflict, and that happens to me a lot, is that people, if you're not trained in like conflict resolution and conscious communication, then it's really not your role to help them solve their problem. It's nice to be a shoulder to cry on, but you're not a therapist, you're not a coach, you're a friend in their lives, but I don't want you to be put under undue pressure. I don't want you to take on too much responsibility. You know what I'm saying? You're not a professional, and you can always say, I don't feel comfortable. Maybe you should talk to a professional and try that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing. Sophia.
Oh, hey.
Hi, welcome back. How can I help you?
Yeah, I was just coming to share updates about the situation, and
Oh,
also
good.
I have some advice that I need.
Okay.
Yeah. So the situation with the person, it went downhill. I guess he's a dismissive avoidant. He totally stonewalled me. I went outside picking weeds or made it look like I was busy, and he looked straight through me. So I was like, okay. And I went back on Bumble.
Okay.
Yeah,
No, he
but
didn't
now
take the
I'm
bait.
I lifted the salt bag by myself.
Okay.
yeah.
Did you ask for
And
help?
no, I just lifted it on my own.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would have been okay to ask for help.
It could have, but he wouldn't acknowledge me, and he had sunglasses on, and it just was
It
really
wasn't the
awkward.
vibe. Okay.
Yeah, so I closed the curtains, and I was like, maybe I was a little too overboard that one time.
Or maybe he's just having a bad day. Who knows?
Yeah, but I've moved on from him pretty quickly. Within a matter of a couple days, I lost all interest.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a turn off when someone isn't showing interest in you.
Yeah. But anyway, back onto Bumble, I realized that now my current issue is I'm starting to gaslight myself about my ex and learning about his attachment style and how I was like triggering him, and then trying to piece together whether it was truly a toxic relationship. I think it was. And just struggling with, like, oh, I want to be back with him, but like, he's too much baggage.
Is he the most recent guy, or you mean the guy you had the baby with?
The guy I had the baby with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like, if there's any like tips to like move on and keep myself straight, like, you left him for a reason.
Right. And it's so easy, and a lot of us are in the pattern of having afterburn, which means the time that we spent after we make a decision having regrets or questioning ourselves about it. And it's really a self-sabotaging habit. way that you remind yourself, and you're kind of already on the right track with it, is you remembered that you made that decision for a reason. Like you said, you respect your own thoughts. And you have to repeat that over and over to yourself sometimes. And sometimes it's just really helpful to recognize that you're simply in a pattern of afterburn. Because if you sometimes what will happen is like you'll be successful in like stopping thinking about that, but then you'll move on to something else you can flagellate yourself about, right? So it's kind of a masochistic thing that you're doing to yourself. And we can get in habits or patterns of looking for ideas that will bring us feelings of pain. Why? Because we're habituated to it. It's also called, and I call it in my book, pain addiction. I think you read my book, right? The first book.
How to live.
Yeah, how to live. Yeah. So it's like a pain addiction, and we can be addicted to the hormones that our bodies release, just like we can be addicted to alcohol or, heroin or whatever. And so it's important to bring a lot of awareness to that spiral when it's happening and do something to shift yourself out of it. Take a cold shower, go, because it is energy, and a lot of times it will build up adrenaline in your system. Sometimes you can simply like shift to thinking of something more peaceful, even the color green. Like just find green is a very peaceful color. The energy of green is very tranquil. The energy of purple is more of a healing energy. Sometimes that works as well. But whatever it is, try even taking a step in the opposite direction that you're going. Just try to start breaking up the pattern that will turn down the volume on it a little bit. Look, you left him for a reason. Most things are overdetermined anyways. And the other thing is that you said that I want, which means that there were a lot of reasons, not just one reason, that things happen. But the other thing is that you said is I don't want you to focus too much on his problems and his attachments. It's normal to trigger one another because we fall in love with our lesson. That's part of the romantic projection. And so the you have an opportunity to heal in that scenario. It didn't happen for you guys. You do your work and you hope to God your partner does his. If he doesn't, then you break, you may have to break up, which is, I guess, what happened in your situation. So all you can really control is yourself. And I just wouldn't put too much time into like analyzing, kind of like what I said to Wendy, don't take on too much responsibility into analyzing or psychoanalyzing. I mean, it's helpful to look at situations and understand yourself and your own behavior, but then it gets to a point of diminishing returns. And that point is reached pretty quickly. And especially if it's the energy of a spiral. If you're just musing about things, that's one thing. But if it's like the energy of a spiral, then you've fallen off track. You're not thinking clearly. Something triggered something in you. And a trigger is always a hearkening back to the original childhood wound. Sometimes people find that comforting because they know that nothing can happen now in adulthood that can rival the things that happened to us as children, simply because the developmental window isn't there. And we're not as dependent. But yeah, don't, try not to try to be aware of finding ways that you're torturing yourself and then try to interfere with that. Does that make sense?
I think so. I think I really am a masochist. I think when I get bored, that's when I get really depressed, and then I get anxious, and then I start either like pick a fight with my AI companion robot, or I go talk to myself and start drama, like talking to myself, talking to the walls about like people.
Right. And it does come from boredom sometimes. And it comes from a desire to control and for to want things to be different. And if we can blame ourselves for something, then there, and we often do this as children because it's hard to acknowledge as children, like the powerlessness of our position. But if we can imagine that if we had done something differently, we could have controlled the outcome, that is in a kind of perverted way, an empowering thought, because it's like, if only if I could do this, I could, you know, change the world or whatever it is. But it's a delusional thought. And so you want to be cognizant, you know, I think they always say in AA, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't control, the, you know, the cur no, God grant me the serenity to change the things, the courage to change the things. Well, anyways, I know the end is to understand the difference between the things I can control and the things that I can't control. And I think that's very important, especially when you're talking to yourself, when you're having that like tape playing in your head. There's only so
But
much
thank you.
you can control. Okay. Thank you for sharing. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's it. That's the serenity prayer. Okay. Yonli.
Hello, hi Chloe, how are you?
Hi, welcome back. I'm good, thank you. How can I help you?
I feel I learned so much from you. I'm wondering about this question. So how to prevent yourself just like because of loneliness and you are kind of trying to undersell yourself too fast because you want to to shoulder to lean on. Because I know I've been burned in the past because I'm before I felt like, oh, a lot of things I said, okay, it's not important, you know, whether it's the education or the looks. But then in the end, after being together for many, many years, it's I got stressed out. And it's just so I feel like how can I prevent that?
So you're saying that you're too quick to jump into relationships because you feel desperately lonely?
I'm a little worried about that.
Okay.
And also I'm also like thinking about, how do you tell if you are underselling yourself? Like, 'cause like my ex, we actually spent 10 plus years together. So I always in the beginning I always had this red flag 'cause I feel he was a procrastinator, but then I kept wanting to, prove it, whether I can, whether I can, how to say, stand it. But then just years just rolled by, and then eventually, I feel like so many years went by, and I was like felt so burned out and so stressed out. So then, and now I'm like dating a guy who is like who's like a little bit shorter than me. So I mean, I feel like I'm not a big I'm okay. I mean, even though he's not really physically attractive, his kiss probably is a little, not so a little bit lousy. But I feel like maybe at this stage of my life, I feel like I don't need that kind of like really physical attraction. So, but on the other hand, I'm wondering whether I could be making the same mistake as I did before that, I said, okay, it's okay, but then maybe whether I would be unhappy later.
Right. That's yeah, it's a subtlety. Okay, well, there's a couple things about what you said. First off, I want to say something in the defense of short kings. So many women only just want a tall guy, that's like their most important thing, that you can sometimes get a really good deal on a short guy. Okay. So I'm a fan of short guys because, you know, they've had to deal with it, and a lot of times they're willing to compensate in ways that tall guys are just too lazy or they don't have to do, you know. The other thing I want to say is that if you want to be in the feminine energy, that means you want to be chased, then you're probably going to be something a little more than the person chasing you, right? You're going to be a little more attractive, or you're going to be a little cooler. Maybe you have a little money, but why would somebody want to chase you? You have to be just a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He, for him, for someone to want to chase you. So I think that it's okay to compromise in the sense that nobody is perfect. You're never going to get everything in one person, you know? And so through your relationships, hopefully you've begun or you will begin to understand the things that are important to you. Now, we're not that great as humans. Humans are not that great at understanding or predicting what will make us happy. So we have to bring a lot of awareness around it when it's happening. And I
Absolutely.
know I've had many clients who've said, I want X, I want Y, I want Z in a guy. They get those, but there's something missing, you know. Then they meet a guy with a whole lot of A and they fall in love, you know. So it's important to be open while knowing there are certain things that you want. It's important to be open. It's also important to understand the non-negotiables, you know. Maybe you can stand a short guy, but you can't stand a guy who procrastinates, you know. I mean, to me, that would be more acceptable to have someone short than to have a procrastinator, because that would just drive me bananas. That said, if you're a real go-getter, it's nice to have a complementary energy, not necessarily procrastinator, but maybe somebody who's a little bit more chill than you are, you know? Sometimes that can work out because it's very complementary. But I do think you need to have some chemistry now. Sometimes, you know, chemistry often is the thing that gets you through the bad days, you know. So really successful relationships have chemistry, compatibility, which means do you want the same things, and communication, which is something that we can work on the most. We can work on compatibility a little bit. We can work on communication the most. Chemistry is usually a gift from God. You either have it or you don't. So, yeah, you know, I think you always give up some things for other things. You know, it's important that you go into the relationship somewhat consciously. I know that you know, loneliness isn't necessarily a bad thing, because often loneliness is a beacon to other people that you want to connect. But desperation is a different thing, because desperation implies that you're willing to sacrifice your authenticity in order to attach. So it's a nuance, but that's kind of where the line is drawn. You know, it's okay to be lonely and to want to connect. You don't want to be desperate, because you don't want to have to sacrifice who you are in order to attach. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, that's often what we have to do as children. But when we're grown-ups, we don't have to do it. If you're really on the fence about someone, you can, you know, do a number, you can do a blind study. So, have I talked to you about this before?
No.
Okay. So, for 2 weeks, you take, like, take that as your period of examination. And for 2 weeks, every time you think of the guy and you think, oh, yeah, he's good, I want to stick with him, you would put an O on a piece of paper and put it in a box. And every time you think, no, God, I can't take another day with this man, you'd put an X and you'd put it on the box. And then but not a transparent box. Then at the end of 2 weeks, you can look at that and you will actually see where you're at. Oh gosh, I actually like him more than I thought. Or God, he drives me crazier than I thought. I mean, you know, even in the best relationships, there will be moments where you can't stand him. And then that passes, and you know, a few days go by and you're in love again. So it's when, if you're looking for perfect, you're gonna end up alone. But overall, if he's 51% valuable, we keep him.
Yeah, that's so enlightening. Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up?
Okay.
And this guy, he's also very shy. So, sometimes I get a little sort of impatient. Like
wondering whether he's gonna make a move or not. So, but I do fear, do you think if I do want to be more taken care of in the future, I shouldn't be too proactive, right? So I,
Exactly,
okay.
exactly. Patient,
Right,
patient, passive, patient, vulnerable. You can arrange yourself appealingly on the chaise lounge if you want. You can kind of set out the bait for him, but don't make the first move.
And if he kiss me, like I should just follow, right? I should not like stick my tongue out, I guess, right?
No, you
So
can. You can.
yeah,
It's
oh,
fine.
okay.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. I mean, if you're
Oh,
into it, go for it, See
okay.
how it goes. I mean, sometimes, and just try to stay aware of how you're feeling, Oh,
Mm.
I did this. I kissed him. Oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I feel pretty good. Or, oh God, I'm so repulsed, Just see how you feel. Does that make sense? Yanli, are you there?
Lip, and I was actually sticking my tongue out that maybe I feel like maybe that's was like a little bit too much.
Oh, that you were too aggressive in the kissing? I think it's okay. I wouldn't worry about that. As long as he made the first move.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Zoom user. And you guys can also put questions in the chat too, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
I
How
was not able to change my name, actually.
can
So
I help?
I hear your conversation there. What kind of, maybe I was not in the meeting. So what kind of bait you're talking about? What can we do to bait?
Oh, so you want to make sure that he knows you're available to him, to his leadership, to when he wants to hang out, whatever it is. So, wear something sexy, relax on the couch, in a inviting way. Things that show that you're even, honestly, men get so turned on by women who show them respect, So even saying, "Wow, what a beautiful house you have," that can also be seductive. It's okay to manipulate a man in this way. I mean, wearing makeup is a manipulation, but it's okay to manipulate a man as long as you show him respect. And it's okay to let a man control you as long as he cherishes your feelings. So when you're manipulating him, just make sure you do it in a respectful manner, Oh, can you help me with this? You're so strong, have you been working out or, make a muscle. So these are things that that usually work,
Okay.
Does that make
Another
sense?
question is,
Yeah.
it's good. Another question is when you talk about the chemistry. So the chemistry is very interesting. When we text or video chat or see his pictures, he look attractive and energetic and full of energy. But when we're in person, he can still be funny. However, I'm not sure it's because I was nervous or have some, just because just get out of divorce, PTSD, but I don't feel like trying to move physically forward. Why is that? Is it because we don't have chemistry, or is it just need to give time?
Well, how much
Because
time
I do
has it
feel
been?
like he, what? I'm sorry.
How much time has it been?
A few months.
How many times have you seen each other?
6 or 7 times.
Okay, and you don't feel chemistry?
Sometimes I do.
Have you
But
kissed?
most, no.
Okay. Well, sometimes you don't know till you kiss.
Okay.
So maybe give it that first kiss. This is one of the problems of dating in this day and age is that people put up pictures that don't really look like them. And then the meeting is always a disappointment when you do something like that. So I understand he doesn't look like his pictures. If you feel attracted to him sometimes and not others, I think it's worth
Yeah.
hanging in there.
He looks like his pictures just when we meet in person, when people actually move around, the way they walk, the way they move, they talk, it's different from just looking at pictures.
Right. Oh, and
So
that part kind of turns you off.
is I guess so.
I know. It's funny how that can be. I once had a client who was like obsessed with her partner's thumbs and was like, "I just don't think I can be with somebody with these thumbs." But,
Oh.
of course it was like something else really, deeper probably.
And
But when you have a really strong reaction like that, it's difficult to fight it.
does it mean he likes me if he sent me his pictures? Not weird pictures, normal, just daily life.
Yeah,
Regular.
definitely, definitely. Yeah, and just
Okay.
if he's reaching out regularly, that's, a very good sign. A lot of, one of the I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, and one of the things that men do struggle with is, well, what do I say? How do I reach out? What do I tell her? And I always say it doesn't, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It can be just something very humdrum. So yeah, I think that's good. He's sending you pictures. He's including you in his daily life. That's nice.
The conversation also, is it bad to run out of conversation, or shall we continue try to find something to talk to,
Well,
or is
that's
it
not
okay?
on you. That's not on you. That's on him. That's the
Okay.
masculine energy to make the conversation. You don't have to do that. And it's normal to have silences. No man went to the grave saying, "God, I wish my wife talked more." Honestly, men are totally okay with a bunch of silences. So don't worry about that. Don't put pressure on yourself to make a ton of conversation. You just get to sit back. If you feel like saying something, say it. If you respond, say it. But it's not on you to make it exciting for him
Okay,
in that
that's
way.
good because I'm not good at that.
Okay, good. Well,
And
pressure's off.
so just confirm it's a. It means he likes me if he sent me his pictures
Yes, any kind of like
sometimes.
regular communication is really good
Okay.
because it means
And
he's
do you?
thinking of you.
Oh, that's good. How do I know he's not sending it to others then?
Well, do you are you don't, I guess.
Oh.
But, at some point, you guys will either go into a relationship or you're part ways, right? Why don't you see how it goes when you kiss first for the first time?
Okay.
And
And do
then.
you think at least, well, I after married more than 20 years, of course I'm not very young, but do you think after people marry so many years and divorce, they can still find love, or
Yes.
they're still able to love?
Yes. Yes. You can, yes. And there are
Because the
good things
first
about
marriage,
every
you're
age.
Oh, okay.
What were you going to say? The first marriage, what?
Because the first marriage, we really put in a lot of love. It's original, it's pure, and things didn't work out after so many years. It just felt hurt, felt not sure whether I can find love or how to love or who to love.
Right. Why did you guys break up?
He cheated.
Oh, he cheated. He was the one who cheated. Okay.
And also, he think there was no romantic relationship. It just felt like friends. Although I told him, if it's friends, you wouldn't do that to your friend.
Right. Well, sometimes you have to work to keep the chemistry alive. Doing this. These practicing these tools really helps. When there's too much equality in a relationship, that can sometimes deaden the chemistry. So that's why we look more at equity, which recognizes the difference between you guys. But there are good things about love at every age. You are not too old. I have, well, my mentor is 90 and she's still at it. She's like dating a 70-year-old guy. That's Dr. Pat. And then I have a client who's 80 dating a 50-year-old guy. And she really got a new lease on life when her mother died when she was like 70. She started dating a lot because she was re felt really free to then like be herself in a way that she hadn't before, even at that age. So, yeah, it's different because when you're younger, you have different, a lot of times you're starting a family, you have different hopes and dreams. It's about your futures. When you're older, you don't have to worry about that stuff as much. You can just be there to enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, I would like to.
So,
But sometimes at this age, some people still have package coming. For example, they have younger kids. They have maybe some other things they have to bring in and that I need to consider. Do
and
you think we should accommodate? That's the other thing, compatible. If a couple, I know people are all different, right? You can't be exactly compatible to everything. So some of them you can be compatible. Some stuff you can't be compatible. Do you accommodate, or do you say, no, this is not compatible. I need to find someone else.
Well,
But
it
you don't
just
want to change the other one either.
no, you don't. Some things can be negotiated. Sometimes I've worked with couples where the man didn't want kids and then finally got talked into it and was happy about it, not against his will,
What about diet?
diet, yeah, same thing. People can change, or they don't, you don't have to have the same diet, right? As long as you go to
I
a
don't think
restaurant,
so, but well, that made the other person uncomfortable though.
who cares? You don't worry about his discomfort. It's your comfort. Don't think about his
Okay.
feelings. Think about his, th you worry about his thoughts. Don't worry
Sorry, what's
about
that? What about his thoughts?
him. When you're looking to consider him, consider his thoughts, not his feelings. So you don't worry about making him comfortable. He worries about making you comfortable. You worry about respecting him, or you don't worry, but that's what you focus on.
When you say respect, how do you show the respect?
Exactly. And so that's the thing is people get tripped up on. It's like, what do you mean respect his thoughts? What do you mean cherish your feelings? And part of that exploration is the work. But there's ways that you can show respect, right? You can listen, you can echo, you can give praise, you can do as he asks. You can use the tools of conscious communication when you do have a problem, which means you make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, complain, question, or criticize. You don't just barrel into him with criticisms when he's not ready for it. So these are some ways in which you can show respect. And different people, you might tweak it differently for certain people, One of the ways I know for me that I show my husband respect is when he gets angry about something, unless he brings it to me, I don't ask his about his feelings. I let him have his space to be angry. Unless it has something
Okay.
to do with me, which usually it doesn't. He's usually angry about something else if he gets angry. So I just let him do that. And I respect his space around that because I
You
know
don't
him.
think he wants you to comfort him to say something nice to him
I
when he's
know he doesn't.
angry?
I know he
Okay.
doesn't. I know he doesn't.
Just leave him
Because that
alone.
makes him feel worse. That makes him feel emasculated.
Oh.
I'm
What
not
if
going to be
he?
his mommy because that also kills the chemistry.
Oh.
And a
Got
lot
it.
of times people think if that's the way it has to work. Oh, I have to mother him. And then they wonder why the chemistry's dead and then their boyfriend doesn't want to fuck their mother. So don't get sucked
Okay.
into doing that.
So when they are upset or angry, we just, what if they come and talk to you? What do you do?
Yes. Then if they come and talk to you, then you can ask them, is there anything that I can do to help you do better?
Okay.
If they come to you, Wendy's like, so men don't need. No, they do need. But men experience, men feel good when they get respect. Okay? So you don't go straight in, oh, you poor baby, what's wrong? You don't go in like that with a masculine man. Want to
Okay.
say something, you say, let me know if there's anything I can do to help you do better.
Okay.
But otherwise, you let him have his space and do his thing. You know, another way to show respect is to not argue. You know, he wants to go to dinner at 6. You want 6:15? Can you know what I mean? Like, you can just go at 6 unless you present it. I think I'll feel too rushed. What do you think about going at 6:15? You know, if you present it in a respectful manner, then it's okay. You know, but just go, if he's like, here, get this, here, let's have steak for dinner. No, I want chicken. You know, to just go like that is like set up for a fight. It's a power struggle. So you want to avoid power struggles.
Okay.
You want to do things
And
that show you respect his opinions.
but does it sound like accommodate?
Well, I mean, if it doesn't feel good to you, then you're not going to do it. So it's not just accommodating for the sake of accommodating. Ideally, you find a man that you do respect so that it's not so much work. I was working with a woman recently and I was like, you need to give your husband some responsibilities because you're doing everything. She said, like what? I said, give him things to do that he's good at. She said, like what? I said, I don't know. You're married to him. You know, like there must be some reason you married him. He must be good at something. So she's thinking about that. But you know, it's look, women are very capable. We can often do things better. We're often smarter. You know, but if we step in and do everything, we get very burnt out. So if you want to receive and be taken care of, then you try not to ask for more, better, and different love. You try to step back and receive because you literally can't be giving and receiving at the same time, right? So the idea is that you respect him enough that you can trust that he'll pick a good dinner for you guys to have, or a nice restaurant, or he can pick the wine, or he, whatever it is, whatever you respect him, he can fix your car. Maybe he's a car mechanic, you know, but there has to be things that you can entrust to him.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Oh, one more question. Because you mentioned that we tend to date the same kind of person over and over. Does that mean we should date someone totally different?
It does mean that you should be open to new ways of being. And often that means being open to different kinds of people. Not in a forcing way, but you know, a lot of times the people are out there, the solution is out there, but we can't see it because we're so scripted. We all have such strong scripts and episcripts from childhood and from our culture. And so a lot of the trick is just being open enough to explore different options.
I actually enjoy the current guy. He is different from what my childhood or my ex, and I think that's better. But I'm not sure. Is it because the failure of the first marriage? Cannot say failure because he
It
did
was a
something wrong.
success for 22 years. Yeah.
So, but shall I actually? I thought I'm learning my lesson. My ex doing something, for example, his stone cold war. And the new guy actually, it's warm and talkative, which I like. I
Good.
used to think, okay, maybe the quiet person fits my personality because I'm introvert. But after the marriage, I realized introvert with introvert is really two cold stone walls and just
Yeah.
too cold.
Right. It's
And
more balanced with more of an extrovert for you,
yes,
perhaps. Not always, but perhaps.
that's true, perhaps.
Yeah.
And
But
I'm
that's good that
enjoying
you're,
it.
yeah, well, good. And you know, you're not gonna really know until you guys go through different problems, right? It's the conflicts in the relationship that either ruin it or make it stronger.
Now you mentioned the conflict. That's what I'm worried, because it really hurts when the first one is not good, right? Fail.
Right.
That really hurt the feeling, especially as a long-term relationship I was into you already. So for this new relationship, I'm really worried. What if I get hurt again? But I also learned that you don't worry about what if you'll get hurt again. You need to make sure you are okay if it fails. So when you say break up again, or whether it work, sometimes I'm afraid to try or just afraid to go deep into the relationship until I'm sure it's the right person. But if you don't go try, you wouldn't know that's the right person. So there is a conflict here.
Yes. Right. It's that duality that I was talking about at the beginning. And that's how it is here. There's no pain without pleasure, right? There's no happiness without sadness. And there's no guarantee that it won't happen again. Now, you've been coming to this group, you know some of these tools, you probably know some red flags. One thing that I want you to look for this time around is, how does he make you feel, and does he cherish your feelings when you express them?
If answer is yes, then it's positive.
Then that's good. Yeah, that's a good sign. But you can never fully inure yourself from being hurt, because it's not only he that can hurt you. We got hit by COVID. I mean, nobody really predicted that. So it's like things happening all the time that we can't predict. So the best you can do is, put your best foot forward, and then, hope for the best, knowing that there still will always be hardship and pain in life on earth. That's just the way it is here. But the more you can accept negative feelings and not resist them and not try to avoid them and not flagellate yourself and punish yourself because things didn't work out the way you wanted to, even if it wasn't your fault, or even if it was, the more resilient you are. We tend to get very upset about things because they trigger, again, these childhood wounds of unworthiness or unlikability or insecurity or whatever it is. That's why it's so powerful. When in actuality, if you're dating a guy for a few months and it turns out not to work out, it's really not that big of a deal. Of course, you'll be disappointed, but you'll be able to get over it. You're a grown up. You can move on, So you look for him to cherish your feelings. If he doesn't cherish your feelings, then you cherish them yourself. Does that
Do you
help?
recommend, yes, do you recommend to be frankly, just communicate straightforward the feelings of each other, or just try to watch his behavior?
Well, I think actions speak louder than words. But as far as communication goes, don't inquire too much about his feelings. Obviously,
Got it.
positive things can be said at any time, but you really need, there's a rubric I have. And if you want, we can schedule a private, or you can look it up in my book as well. But there's a rubric, because we're about to wind up here, but there's a rubric I have called the Stroke and Stand. And that's what I use to, for conflict resolution. And so it's a
Conflict
respect.
resolution.
Yeah, it's a respectful way to communicate. It's called negotiating with love. I can get, that's something that actually we talk about a lot in module one, is the three ways to communicate, which are bullying with fear or intimidation, seducing with tears or guilt, or negotiate with love, which is what I teach. And so the Stroke and Stand is a rubric that illustrates how to negotiate with love. So when you have conflicts, you use that. And if somebody can't get on board with negotiating with love, it's often a deal breaker in the communication. Right.
Can you say the deal breaker again?
Well, it's often a deal breaker in communication if they can't learn to negotiate with love. If they can
Oh.
only go between bullying with fear and intimidation or seducing with guilt or tears. Because that promotes codependent relationships. And I don't teach those kinds of relationships. I know people are in those relationships and some of them are vaguely content, but that's not something that I advocate for.
Okay. Learn something new every day. Thank you
Yeah,
so
there's a
much.
lot of work here. And so, yeah, this in this, you're so welcome. In this group, we're building a community, and I'm trying to introduce you guys to the basics of this work. But to go deeper, we can schedule a private. You can sign up for the module one, which is basically teaching my first book and going deep, more deeply into these principles and marrying this theory with the things that are actually happening in your life. And that we meet once a week for 4 weeks, an hour and a half at each time. And it's smaller, it's private. And we really try to apply the theories. There's homework. So that we can understand some of this wisdom, because there's a lot of knowledge out here, but a lot of it
You
is
say you're a
being lost.
therapist, right?
Wait, what?
Did you say you're a therapist?
I'm not a
Did you
therapist.
say you're a therapist?
No, I'm not a trained therapist. I trained with
Oh, I wonder
Pat
what
Allen
the
at
insurance
Right, no, I don't
covers.
take insurance. I'm a relationship
Okay.
communication expert. So it's a little different. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up now, you guys. If you have more questions, you can
Okay.
out to me through my website,
God.
or
All
Instagram,
right.
usually. And if not, I will see you here next week or in following weeks, and have a good night. You can find these recordings again on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.